Good morning and welcome to our services this morning. We want to thank the Lord for the rain. However, since it is raining, we have moved our decoration service from the cemetery into the chapel. So right after this morning's service, we will move those people that want to stay for the decoration service can just go over to the chapel, and we'll start that whenever everybody's get there and settled. Pastor Tim is on vacation this week. He is playing grandpa. He went to Virginia for Elliot's first birthday party. So we wish them all well and wish Elliot a happy birthday. Are there any other announcements this morning? If not, we'll start with our first hymn, Thine is the Glory.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, you are our life, our hope, our strength. Grant that we who have not seen may have the faith to trust in you through all things, that we might receive the peace of Christ through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and your Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our next song is How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. We'll sing verses 1 through 4.
First lesson is from Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles answered the high priest and the council, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. But a Pharisee of the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care of what you are about to do with these men. But for these days, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read Psalm 148 responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you high heavens and you waters above heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created.
And you established them forever and ever. You gave
them
decree,
and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of his nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand out and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come on up for a little time together. All right. Wonderful day, isn't it? I'm a little different today, aren't I? Well, I'm in a costume, and you're going to meet that person in just a minute. But I've got a few questions for you first. All right? Come on up. All right. So, if I was to say to you right now, guys, here's one. This would be right up your alley. If I was to say to you, Captain America is going to come through that door in 1, 2, 3, would you believe it?
No.
Why?
Because Captain America is not real.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well, you know, there's a really fancy word we have for God sometimes. It's called omnipresent. Omnipresent. Can you say it with me? Omnipresent. It means that he's everywhere. All right? Now, have any of you seen God before? No. Well, today we're going to be talking about how a man who didn't see Jesus, when the others did, didn't believe. All right, guys. I got a question for you in particular. Okay? Do you believe that Jesus is with us right now?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Why?
Because he's always with us.
He's always with us. What about his love? Is it with us even when we're acting up or not doing things right? Is it with us right here, right now? Hey, guys, settle down. All right? Right? Because I've got a surprise for you. What if I told you it's been here the entire time? His love has been here the entire time. Well, first of all, that would be easy because we've got people out there. You got moms and dads. You got brothers, right? Sisters, family, all of that, okay? Well, but here's the thing. We can't see it, can we? But it has been here, and you didn't know it. It's been over here the whole time. His love has been here the entire time. We can see that heart, right?
We haven't seen it.
We can see it, but the thing is, God's love is seen not only just in love, but it's seen by the love of the people out there, your family, and everybody else. And even though we may doubt it's there sometimes, it's always there. So let's pray. Guys, can you pray with me, please? Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for always being there for us, even when we can't see you. We know that you love us, and you also send other people who love us as well. Help us to love you and love them back. Amen. You may go back out, and I want you to listen about this character that you're about to meet, too. So yes, if you haven't guessed, I was one of the disciples. My name is Thomas. But it's not my only name. Matter of fact, in Greek they called me Didymus, which means the twin. Now, I don't know why they called me that. Perhaps it's because of what my second name is, and perhaps because of the fact that I had two types of my faith. I had the very bold faith that I had, but I also had that faith that wasn't maybe strong sometimes. Now, I was the one that said to Jesus when we were going in to see Lazarus, who had supposedly been ill, and he said, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm the one that said, let's go to die with him. But I also have another name, and that's the one that stuck. And that's the one that kind of got kind of negative and kind of really was one I'd rather not stick, and that's Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, because of the fact that I wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. I was out running some errands. And because I wasn't there, I doubted. It's kind of like social media these days. You look at something and you go, oh, that's real. Well, but is it really? Because you have to understand what was going on. We had never been in this situation before. We'd seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, but he was alive then. He was there doing it himself, alive. And he had other people roll the stone away. In this case, we had seen this lifeless body of this Savior on the cross, lifted gently down, and a lifeless body placed in the tomb. How could he, being dead, do what he did with Lazarus? And the tomb was sealed. And yet, they blamed us for stealing the body. So of course we locked the doors. Of course, while I was out running errands, I didn't go the short way through the main streets. We were scared that they would come after us. So I wasn't there. And so I doubted. And that name stuck. Doubting Thomas. But really, when you think about it, was I really the first doubter? Let's go back a ways. What about at creation? Didn't Adam and Eve doubt God about the tree in the garden? What about Moses when he was at the burning bush and got his call? I'm not eloquent enough. Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt? Abraham and Sarah, when the stranger came, said, you're going to have a child. Not only did they doubt, Sarah laughed. Jonah. People in Nineveh don't deserve to be saved. How many times did he doubt God? What about the people in Egypt? They came out of Egypt. The Israelites are out in the desert. How long did it take before they wanted to turn back? We had more stuff in Egypt, even started to build idols. Young prophet Jeremiah, one of the greatest prophets. I'm too young to go. I'm too young to do this. You need somebody else. Then what about the New Testament? We have two people, a Roman centurion and a woman who had a bleeding issue, who wanted Jesus' help, but one of them said, you can't come into my house. I don't want you to come into the house. I'm not worthy of you coming into my house. Plus, it's against the Roman law. Just say the word. And then a woman who needs help, who wants help so bad, instead of going to Jesus and asking for his help, crawls through the crowd to touch the cloak because she didn't feel adequate enough. What about Joseph? My betrothed is having a baby, and she says that she's not been with another man, and I haven't been with her. How can this be? I wasn't the only disciple either. What about Peter? Not just once, but twice. And I'm not talking about three times at one time when he denied Jesus. I'm talking about the other time when he was out on the boat and Jesus comes walking on the water and he says, Lord, let me come to you. And he takes a few steps and then what happens? He starts to sink because he doubted. So how did I get stuck with Doubting Thomas? Because we all doubt, don't we? Haven't we all had some kind of doubt? And some kind of doubt maybe about our faith sometime in the course of our life? Maybe as youngsters or oldsters. But the wonderful thing is, if we think about these things, there are reasons that we doubt. And they're obvious in these that we just talked about. One is that I'm not good enough. Moses, I'm not eloquent. How can I lead? Jeremiah, I'm young. I don't know how. Another doubt is just fear and fear of failure. That's what Peter's was when he denied Christ. Fear of being arrested and tried with him. Fear of failure for those other two prophets I just mentioned. Fear of life. Also, agreeing or not agreeing with God. That's Jonah. These people in Nineveh, they've been sinful. They don't deserve to be saved. I'm not going. Or perhaps that could feed over into the final one. Maybe not the right time. Mary and Martha questioned Jesus when he arrived, saying, Lord, if you were just here, it wouldn't happen. Their timing's off. Abraham and Sarah, why didn't you give us this child when we were younger? So many reasons for doubts. But here's the interesting thing I want you to remember about doubt. In order to doubt, you must have some form of belief. If you doubt something, you must at least have a little bit of a feeling that you believe it to start with. The second thing about doubt is it could go one of two ways. It can cause you to withdraw. Perhaps you don't feel adequate because I'm doubting maybe I shouldn't be in church, you know. Maybe I'm doubting maybe I shouldn't be looking, you know. Those type of things. Sometimes the result is to step back, to step away. The other result is to go forward and step forward. But I want you to remember this. Every one of these people that I mentioned in the Bible, and myself, there's one thing that happened in every one of these stories, and that is this. God never turned his back. Even though he's mad in the Garden of Eden, he didn't say, I'm going to erase him. We're going to make two new people. He didn't say to Abraham and Sarah, well, if you don't believe me, I'm going to go give that child to somebody else. He didn't say to Moses, no, okay, well, you don't think you're going to go? Well, I'll go choose somebody else. Jeremiah, yep, don't worry about being too young. I'll take care of you. In every one of these situations, he showed patience. He showed mercy. He showed grace. And he showed that even to me because he came back so that I could see and could believe in what I had said I wanted to see. That's the thing about his grace. It's marvelous, and it reaches out to us even when we doubt. He wants us to search for him. He wants us to find the new ways, because that's the wonderful thing about doubt. Like I said, it could go two ways. You can pull back, or you can move forward. You can allow it to empower your faith. You could come here more often even. You come to worship to hear how the other stories could perhaps lift your doubts from the members here. We come here to lift up our voices in song, listen to the words in the song, listen to, most importantly, his holy word, where he has some of the answers for our doubts. That's the grace and mercy he shows us. He gives us a wonderful table where we can see the Lord and bring our forgiveness and our doubts to him. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God that will do that? But it's not easy. I had the luck of being able to see the Lord in person. These days, that's not the case. He's up with his Father in heaven. So faith is not easy. Matter of fact, I heard a song the other day, which I think puts faith in very, very good terms. And it goes like this.
To hear with my heart, to see with my soul, to be guided by a hand I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. To hear with my heart, to see with my soul, to be guided by a hand that I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." In the Bible, we have the parable of the prodigal son, where the father, God, runs to the son who had doubts but has now been found. That is the type of God we have, and that's the type of God who wants us to seek him out through our doubts, who wants us to move forward through our doubts, so that together we can stand with me and say, "My Lord and my God." Amen. We sing our next hymn, "Good Christian Friends Rejoice and Sing." I invite you to stand as we join together in confessing our faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being of the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made a man. For this sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the
Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the Church, the world, and all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, like Thomas, we always seek proof before we commit. Forgive our fears and doubts. Use them to examine and strengthen our faith. Remind us that your good news is too good not to be true, and faith is indeed a trust in you. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your Holy Spirit upon the church and fill it with your peace. May you be constantly praised and glorified in all it says and does. Increase our love for you and the love for one another. Use it to bring many to sure faith in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Breathe your Holy Spirit upon Christians who are persecuted for naming you as Lord. Let their faithful endurance glorify you. Soften the hearts of their enemies. Give them the faith of the apostles who rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer on account of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Sow yourself in your mercy and power to those who reject the gospel of truth. Give us the spirit of encouragement so we can lead them closer to you. Give us faithful words and holy lives. Give us grace so that we do not become stumbling blocks to their journey from disbelief to saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. Your glory is proclaimed in the heavens and throughout the universe. Cause this world so wounded by sin, suffering, and sorrow to also praise you. Turn every heart, especially the rulers of nations, to seek your will. Bestow the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, and might upon them so that we might accomplish it. Lord, in your mercy. Give wings to the words of the missionaries, evangelists, and spiritual guides. Bless and direct the teachings of all within our seminaries, colleges, and schools. Help them to speak and to live the good news of Jesus' resurrection with confidence and clarity. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you everyone who has been grieved by trials to body, mind, heart, or spirit, including Joe Barnes, Colton and Marjorie Bolton, Catherine Glore, Rosa Harton, Albert Jimenez Jr., Avery Martin, Elaine Molina, Janet Lemke, Dennis Enzi, Thanks for the rain, dear Lord. We also ask very much so that we continue that way. And dear Lord, we ask that you help these people and also give comfort to the family of Corey Goodall. Lord, in your mercy. We praise and magnify you, dear Jesus. Help our prayers and lay them at the feet of your Father, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns graciously as our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our offering.
Thank you. be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, united with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence and give us a foretaste of the peace to come.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When the congregation last gathered together for the celebration of Holy Communion, we heard again the wonderful story of God's mighty acts and of the love shown to us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, with thanksgiving, we remember that. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." We were given assurance of the Lord's presence through this gift of his holy supper and his Holy Spirit. Now we receive this same bread of life and the same cup of blessing that we may be strengthened through these gifts. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his amazing grace. Amen. I invite you to stand. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Then may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, "Lord, Dismiss Us with Your Blessing." Just a reminder about the Decoration Day service being in the chapel after, as soon as we can get over there and get ready. But as so, I leave you with this. As we go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.